Well, over the last year, I've spent a lot of my weekdays reading to my grandkids over Zoom. And I thought tonight I would read a chapter of a book to you. The book is called Living a Life You Love, Embracing the Adventure of Being Led by the Holy Spirit. And this is written by Joyce Meyer. It came out a few years ago. And I think it really follows what Dan was sharing about the use of your time. And we want to use our time as God directs us. So I want you to just sit and relax. You don't have to go look for the scriptures, but just listen and see what God can share with you in this chapter. It's chapter 2, and the title is, This Moment is the Most Important One You Have. Imagine with me if your bank made some new policies regarding your personal checking account. Get ready. You're going to like these changes. The new policy goes something like this. Every single day, you get $86,400 deposited into your account. It's all yours. You can spend it as you see fit. However, each night, the bank cancels any money you didn't use that day. Nothing carries over to the next day. Sounds pretty good, right? What would you do? I know what I would do. I go about each day spending that money as wisely as possible. I'd invest it. I'd share it with others, and I'd spend it on things that really matter. And I'd probably do some serious shopping, too. Mm-hmm. With an opportunity like that in front of me, I'd make the most of each dollar, maximizing the opportunity every day. I ask you to think about that because, believe it or not, you have been given a similar policy. But it's not with money, it's with time. Every day you are given 86,400 brand new seconds to spend however you want. Isn't that amazing to consider? But here's the catch. None of that time carries over to the next day. It has to be lived in the present. Yesterday is over, tomorrow is not promised. You've got 86,400 seconds to spend today. I want to suggest that you stop wasting time being negative. For example, ask God to help you get the word hate out of your vocabulary. Start paying attention to how much people use that phrase, and you will get an insight into why some days seem distasteful. We hear and say things like, I hate driving in traffic every day to get to work. I hate the weather in my city. I hate doing laundry, or cleaning house, or cutting the grass, or waiting in the doctor's office, and thousands of other things. It's really harmful when we think or say that we hate certain people or that we hate ourselves. But we can learn to love our lives by speaking more love language in our day and getting rid of the hate language. Each day is a new opportunity, and you should avoid focusing on the things you don't like and perhaps even dread. It is possible to do something that maybe isn't your favorite thing to do and still not hate it. You don't have to live regretting the past or dreading the future. You can maximize the 86,400 seconds God has given you today. This is more than just a good idea. It's a biblical principle. Ephesians 5:16 says, and this is the Amplified Version, making the very most of your time on earth, recognizing and taking advantage of every opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. It's a lot of wonderful words. King James says, redeeming the time. So we take advantage of every opportunity and using it with wisdom and diligence. Psalm 118:24 says, this is the day the Lord has made. Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Today, the Peshitta Holy Bible translation says, this is the day that the Lord Jehovah has made. Come, we will leap for joy and rejoice in him. I'd like to leap for joy every day, wouldn't you? Let us rejoice and be glad in it. Is this a proper description of how you and I go about each day? Or would it be more accurate to say, let us stew and be mad in it? Or let us sulk and be sad in it. Too often this is the case. Rather than rejoicing in the new day God has given us, we are letting precious time slip by while we grumble, complain, regret, worry, or give in to fear. If you want to love your life, it's time to make a change. You have only one life on this side of eternity. It would be a tragedy to waste it. Today could be the day you begin making the most of your time and maximizing every moment. Three ways to maximize the moment. When I say that we can love and enjoy our lives, I realize that every day isn't summer vacation and parties. We still have jobs to go to, children to raise, deadlines to make, and responsibilities to meet. But the obligations of daily living don't have to steal your joy. You can learn to enjoy the moment even when the moment involves going to the grocery store or cleaning the house. It's all about choosing to see the blessings of God and the good in each day. Loving your life isn't something that happens by accident. It is a result of healthy biblical choices that you make on a daily basis. Let me show you three choices you can begin making today that will help you maximize the moments God gives you. Number one, obey in the moment. Obedience may not be the first thing that comes to your mind when talking about loving your life and maximizing the moment, but being obedient to God is one of the best ways to love a joyful, overcoming life. That's why the Bible tells us to obey is better than sacrifice, 1 Samuel 15:22. Better for whom? It's better for you. When you learn to obey God's word and the leading of His Holy Spirit the very moment He instructs you to do something, you will be amazed at how more enjoyable your life becomes. You will be more peaceful and fulfilled knowing that you are in the will of God. Nothing is more uncomfortable than a guilty conscience due to knowing that you're disobeying God. One thing that helps us truly love our lives is when we let God work through us to help other people. All we need to do is to be willing to obey God by following the gentle nudges from the Holy Spirit. And it adds a quality of enthusiasm in our life that is truly inspiring. Let me give you an example of how obeying God in the moment can affect you. Recently, I was buying a cup of coffee in a local coffee shop. The barista and I were chatting as I paid for my coffee. And somehow, the coffee maker the store had on display came up in the conversation. It was a very nice coffee maker. And the young barista said, "I'm saving up my money because I really want to buy that coffee maker one day." As soon as she said those words, I felt the leading of the Lord to buy that coffee maker for her. There was no audible voice from heaven or anything like that. I just knew in my spirit that God was telling me to bless this young lady. So that's what I did. I bought that coffee maker as a gift and told her, "I just want to bless you with this." Now let me tell you, she was overjoyed and she thanked me profusely and said that no one had ever done anything like that for her. But as happy as she was, I think I was even happier. It was such a special moment, and it brought so much enjoyment to my day. God knew exactly what that barista needed, and He knew exactly what I needed that day. We both walked away with joy in our hearts and a wonderful experience to thank God for. Then later that day, I saw the young woman in a restaurant, in the restroom at the shopping mall, and she asked me, "Why were you so nice to me?" I told her that God loved her and wanted her to be blessed. That was when she shared that her mother had died of cancer and that she was angry with God. She felt that even if He did exist, He didn't love her. I had an opportunity to briefly share the truth about His love with her. And after giving the incident some thought, I realized the coffee pot was merely used to open the girl's heart so God could show her that He did indeed care about her. At that point, my joy doubled because God had allowed me to participate in such an amazing, divinely appointed event. But here's the thing. I would have missed that moment if I had not been obedient to God. If I had thought, "I can't do that. That coffee maker is too expensive. Or this is too embarrassing. I don't know this girl, and she'll think I'm crazy." That day in my life would have been far less than what God intended. He knew the blessing it would be for both of us, so He gave me an opportunity to partner with Him in reaching out to a lonely, hurting young woman. As Christians, you and I have been called to be obedient to God in the big things and the little things. We make obedience difficult at times because we tend to focus on how difficult we think it's going to be, but we should think about how happy we will be once we have done what God wants us to do. When you make the choice to obey God, no matter what, good things always happen. Number two, love in the moment. For many people, their days are ruined because of the way someone treated them. An insult, a rumor, an unkind word from a friend or a coworker steals their joy and sends them into a downward spiral. I was like that for many years. If someone said or did something unkind toward me, I would wallow in misery for hours. How could they? Why would they say that? Life isn't fair. With God's help, I've learned over the years that I am responsible for my own attitude and happiness. I can't control what other people do, but with God's help, I can control how I respond. God has often reminded me that what someone may do to me that is unjust or unkind isn't nearly as important as how I respond to their actions. This is where love in the moment comes in. When we become people who love others around us on a daily basis, our lives are tremendously enriched. Jesus said in John 15:12, love one another, and verse 11 says that you do this so that your joy may be full. Did you see that? Loving others actually fills your life with joy. Love is not just a feeling we have. It's a decision we make about how we will treat all the people in our lives, the ones we like and the ones we don't like. Well, my husband, Dave, loves golf. He suggested to me that I come to the golf course and watch him hit golf balls at a driving range. He thought it would be a way for me to enjoy some time outside in the sun. Well, I'm more of a doer than I am a watcher. I didn't think it would be something I would enjoy all that much, but it was the second or third time he has suggested that it in the past couple of years, so I finally realized that he wanted me to observe and be proud of how well he hits the golf ball. It was a way I could love him in the moment, just as he has loved me thousands of times and sat in meetings when I was teaching. When we do things for others that we would rather not do, we may not feel joy at the moment, but taking those moments to show love are some of the main ingredients in living a life that we can love. Doing the right thing always ultimately produces the reward of joy. After going and watching Dave hit golf balls, I was glad I did. That's just a small example of loving in the moment. There are so many opportunities God gives each day to share love, not only with our spouse, with friends, family, coworkers, and even complete strangers. Don't miss those chances, those moments, to show love. Your life will be so much better when you look for ways to express love to others. Remember, if love is the central theme of our life, then we will love the life we are living. And the third point, enjoy the moment. So many people have a mentality that they will be really happy at some time in the future. When the kids grow up, when they get a promotion, when their finances improve, when. I can certainly relate. There was a time, even when I was serving the Lord in ministry, that I was always looking forward to the time when things would be better. I wasn't enjoying the daily blessings that came my way because I was too busy looking ahead. I had to learn, and still have to remind myself, to maximize the moment and enjoy what God is doing in me and through me. Now, not when the conference is over, when the ministry is bigger, or when I go on vacation. I really want you to get this. God wants you to enjoy your life now, not at some time in the future. It is amazing to me that even in the midst of running the universe, God still has us on his mind. The psalmist David said, if we tried to count God's thoughts toward us, they would be more in number than all the grains of sand that exist. See Psalm 139, verses 17 and 18. Just think about it. God has you on his mind all of the time. Jesus actually said that he wanted his own joy to be made full and complete in us. See John 17:13. Seeing the scripture and many others that are like it settle the issue for me, God wants us to live a life that we love and enjoy. Anybody can get sidetracked and focus on the problems or burdens of the day. We have all inconveniences and irritations we have to face on a regular basis. But only those who truly believe that God wants them to enjoy and love their lives will look past life's problems in order to enjoy each new day to the fullest. For some reason, we tend to think that as long as we have problems, it just wouldn't be right to not worry or instead enjoy life. But that is exactly what God wants us to do, and that is what the devil does not want us to do. Philippians 4:4 says, "Rejoice in the Lord always. Delight, take pleasure in him. Again, I say rejoice." Notice the word of God doesn't just say it once. We are instructed twice to rejoice. It's important, doubly important to God that you rejoice each day because he knows how powerfully it will affect your life. The joy of the Lord is our strength. See Nehemiah 8:10. So make a decision right now to enjoy the moment. If you have a tendency to be too serious, laugh a little. Remember, God loves you always. That's something to be joyful about. Moments one after another. I read recently that someone asked a woman named Nadine Stair of Louisiana, Kentucky, Louisville, Kentucky, a very poignant question. Miss Stair, who was 85 years old, was asked, "What would you do differently if you had your life to live over again?" This is what Miss Stair said. "I'd make more mistakes next time, and I'd relax. I would limber up. I would be sillier than I have been on this trip. I would climb more mountains and swim more rivers. I would eat more ice cream and less beans. I've had many moments, and if I had to do it over again, I'd have more of them. In fact, I'd try to have nothing else, just moments, one after another, instead of living so many years ahead of each day. I would start barefoot earlier in the spring and stay that way later in the fall. I would go to more dances. I would ride more merry-go-rounds, and I would pick more daisies." I love the attitude of this thoughtful senior citizen because, essentially, what she's talking about is maximizing every moment. As she looked back over her life, she didn't wish that she'd worked harder or worried more. She wished she had enjoyed every day. The jokes, the weather, ice cream, spring and fall, dances, merry-go-rounds, and daisies, these are the moments she wanted to relive. Let me ask you, if you had to live your life over again, what would you do differently? I doubt you'd spend more time in fear or worry, dread, or regret. If you're like me, you would probably want to spend more time laughing, loving, and truly enjoying every day. Well, the good news is this. You can get started today. The missed opportunities of the past are nothing compared to the fresh opportunities of the present. With God's help, you can begin to maximize each new moment he gives you, and you don't have to wait another moment to get started. Remember, you get 86,400 seconds today. How are you going to spend them? Don't forget, yesterday is over. Tomorrow is not promised. You can live only in the present. Being obedient to God is one of the best ways to live a joyful, overcoming life. If you'll look for opportunities to love others on a daily basis, your life will be extremely enriched. Don't wait until sometime in the future to begin enjoying your life. Maximize every moment you have today to love the life Jesus came to you. This is the day the Lord Jehovah has made. Come, we will leap for joy and rejoice in him. Amen. Each day we have the 86,400 seconds to live, and let's live for him. And when doubts and worries come, just use the phrase, "but God," and rest in that. So Heavenly Father, we thank you that you want the very best for us. And when we put you first, when we trust in you and listen to that that nudge of the Spirit that you give us to love someone, to call someone, to pray for someone, to do a special act of thanksgiving, or we just follow through immediately. We don't wait for tomorrow to do something that you've called us to do today. So I thank you for each one of us that we took the time tonight to fellowship together, to hear your word, and to be loved by you. And I thank you that tomorrow we'll have that same opportunity. We have those same seconds to enjoy this wonderful life you've given us. So I thank you for blessing everyone here, for health and prosperity, and for a great, peaceful night's sleep. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen.